Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's just pray. Gracious God and loving and eternal Heavenly Father, as we gather here in Thy presence this day, we thank Thee for another meeting. We thank Thee for the song that we've just sang. And we pray, O God, that You'll bless us as we come, O God, before Thee. And we think, O God, of the meeting it is to come. We think of the Reverend Lindsay Wilson, that You'll put Your hand upon him as he preaches the Word of God. And may, O God, that there be signs following the preaching of Thy precious Word. Save precious souls. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art in this soul-saving business. Oh Lord, do bless us, I pray. Lord, Thy word says, call unto Me, and I will answer Thee, and show Thee great and mighty things which Thou knowest not. And Lord, Thou knowest who shall see this meeting. And Lord, we pray that Thou will open up their eyes. And Lord, may their heart come to know Thee as their own and personal Savior. Lord, do bless Thee this day. We thank Thee for this meeting. And Lord, bless us in all things, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. I ask you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. And we're going to read from verse 11 in the scriptures. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and fallible truth. We're going to stand to sing a wonderful hymn. It talks about our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. It's called "Man of Sorrows, What a Name for the Son of God Who Came."
Thank you. I want to thank your brother McRae for leading the meeting and reading the scriptures to us. I want to take as my text tonight part of verse 22 of Matthew 27. It is a question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There was a dual government in Judea. The first was the Sanhedrin. This was the Jewish parliament. It was based on the Mosaic Law and the Talmud. It involved all the traditions that the elders had added to the law, and it consisted of about 70 chief priests and elders. High priest, of course, was the most influential in the council, but it wasn't an independent state. Much to the dismay of the people of the land, they had been taken over by the Roman Empire, and their little puppet government was really the way it could be described. When it came to anything important, they had to go cap in hand to the governor. The governor could make many decisions, but ultimately it often came to the emperor himself. As far as punishment was concerned and meting out the death penalty, well, that was the domain of the governor. And although the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people plotted the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were bound and fettered by their little puppet government. And so they had to come early in the morning to the governor, Pilate, and try and persuade him to pass the death sentence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. An unofficial trial had been conducted in Caiaphas's house. He was a high priest. And even under their own rules, that was against the law. It was against the law to conduct a trial in the hours of darkness. But so vehement was their hatred of Christ that they had the trial at night. Next morning, whether sense had prevailed or whether legality had prevailed, they had another trial. And then they came to Pilate. Now, if you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross on the third hour. Jewish day begins at 6 in the morning. That's the first hour. 9 o'clock in the morning is when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. And all that we have read in this chapter happened before 9 o'clock. All of the trial, all of the going to Pilate, and then carrying the Lord Jesus Christ and through the streets of Jerusalem until he was nailed to the cross at 9. All this happened very early in the morning. And such was the passion of these men to get rid of Christ. But I want to concentrate our thoughts today upon this man, the Roman governor, Pilate. He was a rough, ungodly Roman governor. But suddenly this man on this day was brought face to face with Jesus Christ. Was he going to believe him? Would he accept that he, the one before him, was Messiah? Would he give his heart and life to him? Would he fall before him as he ought and call upon him for salvation? Or would he condemn him? That day, Pilate made a decision. That day, Pilate had to make a decision. It was a decision that would affect not only the rest of his life, but all of his own eternity. And in his great dilemma, this man, this rough Roman governor, he asks the question which is our text. He asks, maybe out of exasperation, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now today, as you listen to the word of God, the Bible is very clear that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So in a very real sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is here in our midst. And so today, like Pilate, you are brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Pilate, you have a decision to make. Before this meeting is over, you will make a decision regarding Christ. You will either accept him or, as Pilate, reject him. And that decision will affect the rest of your life. And my friend, that decision will affect your eternity. So I want you to ask yourself the question tonight. I want you to ask the question that Pilate asked. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is the greatest question you'll ever ask. You can ask many questions. How do I get to this point? How do I go there? What job should I do? Where should I live? But my friend, the most important question in all of our lives, the greatest question you'll ever ask, is what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? As far as Pilate is concerned, firstly, I want you to notice he couldn't deny the truth. No doubt Pilate had heard many things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been the governor in Jerusalem. He had been there, and literally under his nose, many, many things had happened. The Lord Jesus conducted his earthly ministry, and a good part of it was in the city of Jerusalem, exactly the part where Pilate lived. I'm sure he had heard of the miracles. He had heard of the lives that had been changed, of those that had repented of sin and accepted Christ as Savior. And as he questioned the Lord, as the Lord was brought before him, it's patently obvious that Pilate believed what he heard. His verdict, when it came to the end of that interview with Christ, "I find no fault in him at all." He doesn't say, "Well, he's guilty of such and such, but he's not worthy of death." He doesn't say, "Well, he's not perfect, but he doesn't deserve to be sentenced or put in prison." He's very specific. "I find no fault in him at all." Nothing. That can be said of no other man but Christ. And when he presented the Lord to the crowd later on, as we've read, he said, "Behold your king." He knew he was the king of the Jews, the rightful king of the Jews. And later on still, when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, he got this plaque or this accusation and he put it over his head upon the cross. "Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews." There's absolutely no doubt in Pilate's mind that this man, Jesus Christ, was genuine. No doubt in his mind that he was the sinless Son of God. But there's a vast difference between believing that Jesus is the sinless Son of God and giving your heart and life to him, repenting of your sin and accepting him as Savior. Not only had he the witness of the Savior himself, but Pilate could easily see through the wickedness of the chief priests and scribes who brought the Lord before him. Verse 18 of the chapter, "He knew for envy they had delivered him." These people, these chief priests, yes, these people who were the leaders of the church, had no time for Christ. You know, sadly, that is true in our own day and generation. Many leaders of churches have no time. They have a lot of religion, but they have no time for Christ. There was the testimony of his wife. Verse 19, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Now, this day, I don't know whether it was a nightmare or some sort of a dream in the early part of the day. The interesting thing is, Pilate was the governor of the region, appointed by the emperor in Rome. He was presiding over the most important trial that he would ever preside over, and somehow or other, his wife managed to get a message to him. Could you imagine a judge in her own land and the wife wanting to speak to him or sending a message? It really wouldn't happen. But she got through. "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" All this pointed unmistakably to the fact that Pilate knew exactly who Jesus was. But as judge, he had to make a decision. He clearly knew the man before him was innocent. But he knew that an acquittal and release wouldn't please the people. He was afraid. He was afraid of what people would say. He was afraid of what the elders and the chief priests in their little puppet government would do. He was afraid that he wouldn't be as popular. He was afraid maybe revolt would be on his hands if he didn't go along with their plan. But he knew who Christ was. My friend, tonight, those who are listening to me and they're not saved, and have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but knowing is different, vastly different to accepting him. He tried to avoid a decision. He knew what he ought to do, but he tried to wriggle out of it, as many do, try to wriggle out of salvation. His conscience forbid him to execute a man that was obviously innocent. So he thought maybe he'd throw the decision over to the Jewish leaders. Take ye him, verse 31 in John's Gospel 18, take ye him and judge him according to your own law. They said, we've done that. He's guilty of death, but we're not allowed to do it. It's over to you. Then he sent the Lord to Herod. Herod was the governor in the northern part of the kingdom in Galilee. And when Pilate heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was from Galilee, from Nazareth, oh, send him to Herod. That's his problem. But of course, Herod was having nothing of it. Herod said, well, the problem happened in your jurisdiction, Pilate. You make the decision. Then he offered Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the people. There was a custom to deliver from prison one prisoner at a particular time of the year around Passover time. It was kind of a sop to the people to make the people think that the Roman Empire was lenient. But when Pilate offered a man, he offered to release Christ, and he set against Christ the most notable, the most wicked man in all of the jail in Jerusalem, Barabbas, a murderer. One guilty of insurrection, one who was guilty of treason against the state. And Pilate thought, well, did this man not come into Jerusalem just on the Sabbath day on the back of a donkey? Did all the people not say, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord? Surely the people, maybe these chief priests, no, but surely these people will accept Christ and deliver him. And I'll not have to make the decision. But they chose Barabbas, because the people didn't want Christ. Then he pleaded the innocency of Christ. He said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. No, they weren't having it. And then he scourged Jesus, contrary to the law. An innocent man should never have been scourged. Maybe he thought, well, if I give him a real beating, maybe that'll be enough. It'll calm them down. I'll let him go. I'll not have condemned him. But it didn't work either. Finally, he took a bowl of water. And with great ceremony before all the people, he began to wash his hands. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. But all the water in all the rivers and oceans in all of the world could never cleanse him from what he was about to do. Because immediately afterwards, he condemned him to be crucified. Pilate had a decision to make, and he did make it that day. He rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And furthermore, he sentenced him to death. He ordered the most heinous murder of all time. Now today, Christ is here. He is among those who meet in his name. You have a decision to make. And you must ask yourself, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You cannot wriggle out of the decision. You can try to. You can say it's somebody else's decision, but my friend, you one day will stand before God alone. Your friends will be gone. You will not know that they're there, but you will stand before God on your own. Before you go through those doors tonight, there will be a decision made in your heart. Oh, maybe others will not know, but you will have decided, yes, I will accept Christ, or no, I will reject him. Pilate had all the evidence that he needed. Pilate was convinced. You have all the evidence that you need that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will save sinners that call upon him. But that's not salvation. Salvation is repenting of sin and accepting Christ personally as Savior. You will make that decision tonight, whether you like it or not. Pilate said no to the Lord. I trust you'll not say no. And finally, I want you to notice he sealed his eternal destiny. Throughout all the rest of the Bible, we never once read of Pilate repenting of the dreadful sins he committed. The first century historian Josephus Flavius wrote of Pilate in later life. Someone asked Pilate about Jesus Christ, the one he had put on trial some time before. Do you know what Pilate's reply was? Who is Jesus Christ? He didn't even remember his name. You think tonight that the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you know that you need to be saved, you know you need to accept him as your Savior. You think, oh, it'll never get to the point where I would forget who he is and what he has done, that he is the Son of God and he is the Savior. And maybe when I'm older, maybe then I'll repent. When Pilate was older, he couldn't even remember his name. And Pilate died. Pilate went to a lost eternity in hell. My friend, tonight, you have a decision to make. Can I urge you to choose Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's your decision tonight. And that decision will be made regardless. You will decide by either accepting or rejecting. Come to Christ tonight. Do what Pilate didn't do. Not a lost eternity then, but heaven with Christ for all eternity. May the Lord speak to your heart. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we praise thee for the word of God tonight. We praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ present even with us now. And we pray, Lord, that those who are outside of Christ and know not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would strive with their hearts. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would so convict them of their sin that they would repent and call on the Lord to save them. We praise thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Speak on when the voice of man is silent. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.